is going on, y'all? And thank y'all again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, the man that's behind, of course, it's hot, so you know what he's into? Water, right? Like, it's not enough for him to always bring it up. He comes in with more water, and now he's got more drink packages. It's Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios on a hot...
It's like a camel.
Texas afternoon. Well, I'm outside a lot, and at this time of year, look, it's been a beautiful summer. It's been a beautiful summer. I think we hit 100 for the first time yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And it's over 100 today.
Not hating on it. End of July, I'm not hating on that at all.
Man, I'm kind of used to it. If you're in the shade, it's not too bad. But if you're in direct sunlight, yeah. And as long as you're drinking water, which, you know, I always am. What do I got in here today? This is severed lime.
Yep, there you go.
And fizzy water with a little lime aftertaste.
Always got fizzy water. He's pretty, fizzy watered
pretty
up.
Pretty good. But yeah, no, man, I'm excited about this week. I'm excited about getting out of town.
Oh, here we go.
I've already had several people message me that they're going to meet us at the Ducks Unlimited Expo in Memphis, Tennessee this weekend. They're like, man, you're going to be there. That's great news. We're going to come see. I'm like, come on. I got stickers, whatever you want. Take pictures, chat, tell us a story. So, yeah, man, we'll be hanging out at the Duck Den. We're going to be walking around looking at all the vendors. I'm pumped about all the vendors.
I'm pumped because... I have no idea what to expect.
Right? I've never been to
one. Like we've talked about, I've been to one DU banquet and one Wild Turkey Federation banquet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's it. So I have no idea what to expect when we get there besides a lot of ducks, duck calls, some decoys.
I've been practicing.
I'm pumped. I'm pretty sure you're going to get at least placed somewhere.
I just want a participation ribbon, right?
Just cool? Show up just to get a...
I want you to film it.
All right. Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be fun seeing all the guys going on with Clay and Chris and all those dudes and Matt. It's going to just be a good time to hang out with everybody.
I didn't realize that there was going to be multiple podcasts there. Like what I mean.
Yeah, I had no idea till you told me literally right before we started.
Expanded Perspectives is not going to the expo to like set up with a booth and podcast. It's Cam and I are hanging out at the Ducks Unlimited podcast. We will appear on microphone one of the days. I think it's around 2:00 on Saturday, but that's it.
That's it.
But there's going to be a lot of other podcasts there podcasting about who knows what.
Ducks, I bet.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Ducks, right? Dogs.
So that's going to be interesting.
Mud, cold weather gear.
Yeah, I saw they were having a bunch of seminars too, like how to choose the right puppy and how to train your dog when it's cold and all that stuff.
So
I have no clue about any of that.
I can't even train my children. How am I going to work with a dog? My kids don't listen. My dogs never listen. Nothing ever listens to me.
I'm looking
y'all
forward.
Y'all do. Y'all listen. And you know what? I'm very thankful for y'all
me
listening.
Too. Boy, me too.
Speaking of listening, I got something here.
What is it?
I had this sent a while back. Forgot it. It was one of those, we've discussed this, where you tell a story and then a year goes by, 2, 5, 8 years go by. You don't even know if you've told it. You have no idea. Right. I couldn't tell you how many stories that I've told 6 months ago.
How many stories have you told over the last 13 years?
And so I also forget sometimes, maybe I should take them out and put them in a told file, right? Is what I should do. And sometimes I've moved them or deleted them. I don't know. But this story called to me when I found it loose in a file, floating into the terabytes of space and hard drive work. It called to me. And this is what it said. In 1970, I was serving as a corporal in the U.S. Army, deployed to South Vietnam in a region about 30 miles south of the DMZ. Now, at the time, I was second in command of a squad of soldiers. We had set up a bivouac in a jungle area that had a few steep hills. Now, that evening, my section was ordered to patrol one of the small valleys west of the encampment. So we moved out, led by our sergeant. Not long after entering one of the small valleys, we detected movement ahead of us, and it seemed to be scattered activity. So we doubted it was VC, but we weren't positive. We hunkered down for about 15 minutes, getting occasional glimpses of something moving within the trees and brush. There wasn't enough light to detect what we were observing, even though the moonlight was bright that evening. After a while, the activity halted, so we continued to move slowly through the valley. As we approached a sheer wall on the hill, it looked like someone or something had stacked large stones and boulders in the pass in front of us. There was also an opening in the hill that looked like a cave entrance, approximately 5 foot high and 3 foot wide, narrowing at the top. When observing the passageway, it appeared to have been cut away by machinery, The edges were smooth and small, even-spaced grooves. We were puzzled by this because we had never seen enemy caves like this, just underground tunnels. The sergeant suggested that maybe a VC supply depot, so we started to assess how we were going to investigate this cave. About that time, things got very strange. We began to notice a putrid odor emanating from the cave's entrance. The only thing I can compare it to was rotting eggs and human decay. It was so revolting that a few of the soldiers became ill and started to back away into the jungle, including the sergeant. I was directing a light into the entrance in order to observe anything, but there was a haze that was impossible to see through. We had no idea what was before us. So the entire squad took a position in the heavy brush, approximately 150 foot from the entrance, far enough not to be detected, but close enough to observe the cave. We quietly remained there for what seemed like forever. The jungle was strangely calm, though we heard rumbling sounds coming from the distance. It was really eerie. The sergeant was sitting near me talking to himself. It was obvious that he was frightened. I was looking at the rest of the squad. Each had wide eyes and scanning the area. No one was going to doze off during this patrol. After several hours, dawn was approaching, and it started to lighten up. I checked my watch. It was just before 0500. Just then, we noticed movement in front of the cave. A being. Now, at first, I thought it was a man, moved through the entrance into the clearing in front of the cave. As it stood up from a crouch, it stood at least 7 foot high and stared in our direction. At that time, another similar-looking creature was moving out of the cave, and they were making hellish hissing sounds and looking directly at us. Sleestacks, Billy. Sleestacks.
Yeah.
The only way I can describe these beings is that they looked like upright lizards. The scaly, shiny skin was very dark, almost black. Snake-like faces with forward-set eyes that were very large. They had the arms and legs like a human, but the scaly skin. Now, I didn't notice a tail, though they wore long one-piece, dark green robes, along with a dark cap-like covering on their heads. I never noticed if they had anything on their feet. No one gave the order. It seemed like the entire squad just opened fire at once. Every piece of vegetation between us and them was quickly sheared away. I yelled out a ceasefire order. At the same time, I was looking in the direction of the cave. There was nothing there. We immediately checked our flank in case these things had circled us. There was nothing. As we approached the cave, ready to resume action if needed, it became apparent that these beings had escaped, most likely back into the cave. It was soon decided to set charges and close this cave entrance. When we returned to camp, we all seemed to be in a daze. There was little discussion of the incident, and we were never debriefed. So I know the sergeant never filed a report. And then again, if he did, it was kept quiet by the brass.
Wow.
So what is going on?
There's a cave in Southeast Asia that has...
It had sleestacks in it.
Yeah, the lizard man of Skateboard Swamp,
right?
Remember, that happened in South Carolina?
I don't even know. First of all, I would not be... It's not... I don't know why. It's not shocking. Right?
Because it's the jungle.
It's the jungle. And the idea... But the what he's describing, these robes, and it's got like hats, it's Thulsa Doom.
Yeah.
Right? It's the snake cult from Conan. It's Thulsa Doom's Mountain of Snake cult. The idea of a 7 foot tall reptile lizard person popping out of the jungle and you opening fire on it and then you lost it.
When you're describing it, I'm picturing the scene in Predator where they're all just shooting at the jungle. Just dumping mags into the
bushes.
That's right,
after Jesse gets killed. Remember he gets shot in the back?
Yeah, last week you told a reptilian story that was tiny. Remember that?
Exactly.
And this time they're seven footers.
7 footers.
Well, lucky for you, I got one to go with your
story.
Here we
go.
It says, I awoke one night in a state of which I can only explain as a spasm. My body was in a rigid state. I could not move a single muscle. I fought to get movement back in my body, but I could not turn my head or move at all. It was like I was having a fight to get control of my body. After a few panic-stricken moments, I could just barely move my fingers, but only a little bit. I then felt that there was more than just a spasm. I felt dirty and touched. It was a horrible feeling from deep inside of me. I could barely move my toes. Again, very slightly. I could feel something was on top of me. My hands were by my side, but it felt like they were around my own throat, holding tightly. I was using all of my might to break free from this spasmodic state. Then I could feel something breathing into my left ear. A sound of a growl-like noise right next to my ear. I struggled to move my head to the left, like breaking free from a stranglehold, baby. I could barely see the outline of a head, a big, long head next to my own face. As the spasm-like feeling started to wear off, a tiny bit at a time, I could work out that this thing on top of me looked like a lizard or a newt creature. It was like a blending together of all that was around it, or maybe it was some of it was invisible. I'm not sure which, but I could see it clearly as the seconds passed on. It was a reptilian. I growled at it, or I think I did. My mind and my body gave all it could do to do so. I bared my teeth at it. I could feel it could read my mind. I was swearing at it and shouting all sorts of obscenities. I felt violated and used. Then suddenly, it was quickly off of me and was standing to one side of the bottom of my bunk bed. A light came through the thin gap in the curtains. There were different shades of a golden light, which also had very small particles inside it, like dust or small stars, which moved around like little bright lights. This reptilian creature was about 6 foot tall. I could sense it was either proud or happy with itself. Heck, maybe both. I tried to sit up as best I could, and through my mind, I swore at it again. The creature walked forward and stepped into this light beam. As it did, the feet and legs vanished into the light. The more the creature moved forward towards the window, the more of it vanished. After it was gone, I felt relaxed, but I could still feel where I was held around my throat. I felt I was raped by this horrendous monster. I awoke to a bright sunny day. I could hear my mother downstairs, washing up and doing housework. I laid in my bed and didn't move a muscle. I ran the incident through my mind again and again, and yes, I could still feel where I was held around my throat. I know that this happened. My mind, heart, and soul know that this happened. For the life of me, I could not run downstairs to explain to my mother about this. Who would have believed it? How would my parents have handled such a thing? I don't know what to do. Or I didn't know what to do. Since that night, my stepfather's passed away. I asked my mother if she believed in aliens or UFOs. She replied that my stepfather said once that he saw a UFO near Brighton while at sea in the 1960s, and he swore that it was a UFO, but only told my mother this story. I never told my mother about my experience, as I thought it would be too harrowing for her to hear. What do I do about my experience? I would love to do something about it. It may help somebody. As I'm being very honest, things like this should be disclosed. An answer has to be found on why this is happening. Wow, crazy story. Reptilian abductor.
I hate reptilian.
So maybe that cave infested with slee stacks was just extraterrestrials.
Yeah, yeah.
They landed there and they were hiding out. Maybe their ship crashed and that's where they had to live, was in that cave.
I think there's just multiple versions of them.
Or right. An even cooler idea is there is inner Earth. And those things are like the guardians to the entrance of inner Earth.
Man, I hate those things.
What was the... There was a guy we were going to have on to interview. Now, this has gone way back, like 10 years ago. He had written a book about inner Earth, these reptilians and these ant people. I can't think of the guy's name. I think we have the book somewhere in our library. I can't think of it. Anyways, moving on.
Even when you brought up, though, you start thinking about the stories of the ant people. Like we've gone back and discussed. It always makes me wonder, like, is that some sort of alien creature? Because to me, like we've always said, insects in space to me make more sense.
It does, doesn't it? And I can't tell you why.
I don't know why. But when they start talking about ants, I'm like, I could see that. It might be some insect version of an alien that I could definitely would be like, that's an ant person.
Right.
100% ant person. And then, I don't know this, but don't lizards eat ants?
Yeah.
Well, then, there you go. Then there's the lizard reptilians. Folks, we got some more lizard reptilians. I don't know if I have any crazy lizard reptilian story I'm going to share with y'all, but we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, I have found something completely new to me. I'm going to have to share it with y'all because this has sent me down another pathway. So I'm going to dabble in some more crazy stories, and Kyle's got a few we're going to share, folks. Stick around. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar. Man, I love me some Word. IQ Bar. IQ Bars are totally free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial sweeteners for a natural anytime snack. Try 9 delicious flavors, including mint, chocolate chip. What do I got here in this box? That's what this is, right?
You got the sea salt.
Yeah.
Dude, check that out.
Chocolate sea salt, almond butter chip.
Give me this other one.
These things are amazing. What's the package?
Dude, that's the package that I like now. Of course, folks, look, you like the electrolyte. It's like a sports drink, but way better, right? It's like, don't mess with this. This has three times the electrolytes, magnesium, and adaptogens, zero sugar. What I'm talking about, iced tea and lemonade.
That's a fit. Listen, dude, no jokes.
Arnold I'm telling
Palmer's,
you.
You see me drinking all the Arnold Palmer's when I'm not drinking
I
water.
I drink them all the time,
we
man.
We used to stop every Friday before we went and played Dungeons & Dragons. What did we get every single time?
Giant Arnold Palmer's.
Right? So now they're making it.
They're making it, dude. It's like they listen. Folks, I'm telling you, this stuff's so good.
They got other
really
flavors,
is.
Like peach mango, blueberry pomegranate, raspberry lemonade, lemon lime, blood orange, pina colada, and passion fruit. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are starting their days on the right foot with IQ Bar's brain and body-boosting bars, hydration mixes, and your wife's favorite, the mushroom coffee.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell me about the mushroom coffee.
Dude, it's great. I've tried it. I enjoy it. I'm still a big fan of coffee. But I drink less than I used to, right? But she loves it. These hydration packs, though, folks, these things are so good. And I'm a big chocolate sea salt bar guy. And even the new fruit bars, bro, I'm telling you, these will make the great. They're just good, healthy snacks. I don't feel bad when I want to eat more than one.
Yeah,
right? Normally, when I want to get crazy and be like, I'm going to take two of these with me. Like, I don't feel like you're not, like, you feel like you're eating candy, but you're not. Does that make sense?
It does, because a lot of these healthy candy bars are very dense.
Yeah.
They're, like, hard to chew. These aren't that way, and I really like it. And if you want to try IQ Bar right now, all you have to do is text EXPANDED to 64,000. IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. Like I said, all you have to do is text the name EXPANDED, EXPANDED, to 64,000. That's text EXPANDED to 64,000.
I told you I found something. This is by total accident.
Yeah, what did you find?
I've got to share this with you. Now, look, we cover lots of stuff. We talk about a lot of stories. We a lot of crazy things. People, you know, you can laugh about it. You can say it's not real. You can say it is real. You can want to believe it 100%. You cannot believe any of it. You can take it for just the pure entertainment value. That's what it's here for. Crazy stories. We do our best to make sure this isn't somebody pulling our leg. And I don't think this is. This is an actual website that I have found this from that seems to be as legit as you can get, from a fella named Dr. Hugo Pecos.
Okay.
And this was written by a fella named Luke Castagliola, with additional contributions from Hugo Pecos.
Hugo Stiglitz.
Hugo Stiglitz. So I want to share this with you. Folks, it says that, and I don't want to give you the title because it'll give it away. I want to lead this in for you to listen to this. The difficulties of American troops during the Vietnam War often are attributed to the skillful tactics of its opponent and the lack of support on the home front. But U.S. forces were hampered by another stealthy enemy in Southeast Asia. vampires.
What?
From the beginning, combat in Vietnam jungles presented new challenges for American troops. The Army, in particular, was trained and equipped for a conventional mechanized war as such that they had faced in Europe, and Vietnam, with its jungle fighting, was a new game. The Viet Cong were masters of guerrilla warfare, during which they would hit troops with surprise attacks and then recede back into the jungle. They were also effectively used small villages as bases and ammunition stores. In an attempt to turn the tables, the U.S. Marine Corps developed a Civil Operations and Revolutionary Department Support, or CORDS, program, with assigned small units to patrol the villages. The Marines sought to recruit members of indigenous tribes in the mountainous region of West Vietnam to help them, but the Marines quickly discovered that the tribes were fearful of venturing into certain areas because of the presence of Ma, or phantoms. One tribe in particular, the Montagard, spoke of reanimated corpses that haunted the jungle, drinking the blood and consuming the internal organs of people unluckily enough to cross their paths. U.S. commanders were quick to dismiss the claims as local superstition. Alas, it wasn't superstition at all. Reports of troop encounters with ghouls in the jungle began trickling in to U.S. command around 1965. At first, the stories involved troops catching glimpses of ghostly figures moving through the jungle. Soldiers who saw these creatures described them as having fangs and black eyes. And then soldiers began to disappear from their platoons. In one incident, two American soldiers rescued one of their comrades from a creature that appeared to be impervious to their bullets. U.S. commanders initially suspected vampires, as Vietnam, home to 41 known species of bats, had a history of outbreaks. One person infected in an isolated jungle village with no access to vaccine could quickly spread the affliction through an entire community. Strangely enough, the undead creatures often appeared in the daylight hours, a feat thought impossible for vampires. One platoon of American troops found the entire village of Sun Hau occupied by these creatures. Despite the daylight hour, the embattled creatures managed to flee into the surrounding jungle. With the troops' morale plummeting and the Viet Cong making gains, top Army brass brought several high-ranking FVZA agents. If you want to know what that stands for, it stands for the Federal Vampire and Zombie Agency, to Saigon in the fall of 1966 for a consultation. The Army helicoptered the agents out to a village at San Hao, scene of the daytime battle between the U.S. troops and the ghouls. Once there, the agents noticed that the triple canopy jungle was filtering almost all the sunlight before it reached the ground. They speculated that this filtering was enabling the vampires to operate in daytime. In a report to President Lyndon B. Johnson, the FVZA concluded that eliminating the vampires would be virtually impossible in Vietnam's jungle settings. When Johnson read the conclusion, he famously said, "If the jungle's the problem, then let's get rid of that damn jungle." Thus began the infamous Vietnam herbicidal warfare program. The military chose a defoliant known as Agent Orange and sprayed 20 million gallons of it over 6 million acres of jungle. Once the canopy was denuded, troops went into suspect villages with flamethrowers to exterminate any remaining vampires. The program was successful in clearing several large packs of vampires from the mountainous regions of Vietnam. However, many American soldiers and their Montagard allies remained unwilling to go into the jungle villages. As a result, the Marine Corps abandoned the CORDS program in 1968 and returned to a policy almost indistinguishable from the Army's. In Vietnam, jungles were left to the Viet Cong, the indigenous tribes, and the vampires.
What?
So, I know that's a lot.
They were fighting vampires.
Vampires, according to folks.
What a crazy story, but I love it.
The FVZA, the Federal Vampire and Zombie Agency. I'm not going to get into all this, but this is a thing. It says dedicated to Dr. Hugo Pacis, former director of the FVZA. I'll tell you a little bit about it. It says from 1869 to 1975, the Federal Vampire and Zombie Agency, also known as the Vampire National Guard or Vanguard, was responsible for controlling the nation's vampire and zombie populations while overseeing scientific research into the undead. The site was created by Hugo Pacis, who passed away in 2015, as a tribute to the men and women who served in the FVZA, especially the over 4,000 agents who lost their lives fighting to keep our country safe. Though Dr. Pacis is gone, we continue to maintain this space in his honor. Yeah, folks, the FVZA.
I want to join the Vampire National Guard.
Dude, here's the thing that bothers me the most about this whole deal. It's easy to laugh at. This whole thing is easy to chuckle at, make jokes about, the whole deal. What if it ain't?
Yeah, I mean, look at all the stuff that's come out recently that was considered ridiculous, and now it's looking more and more like, nah, dude.
What if this is, it's really, the easiest place to hide anything is in plain sight, right?
Yeah.
Make you feel like an idiot for believing in any of that stuff. That's what they've done to the UFO people for generations. What if this is it? They don't acknowledge it. Oh, it's unacknowledged. Yeah, you don't acknowledge it, so you don't give it credit. What if that's really going on? What if there really has been a behind-the-scenes vampire-zombie war?
Well, because just like we talk about...
If there has, and I like to believe there has.
So it'd make an awesome movie.
Makes a great movie.
You know, Hollywood is always searching for something. They keep remaking the same old things.
Yeah.
There's stuff out there that somebody should write that.
Plenty of stuff out there. Yeah.
Clive Barker or somebody needs to do a screenplay of that concept.
To get into these stories, and like we said, use it.
You're right, though. People... We laugh at vampire stories when we get them from time to time because people think it's, you know, it's ridiculous. But just like with Bigfoot or Sasquatch, how come there's so many cultures that believe in vampires? It's not just come from one area of the globe. There's lots of cultures that all believe in some form or fashion. And even in Southeast Asia, where this is taking place, let's not forget about the Aswang.
Yep.
The Aswang is, you know, the Philippines, Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand.
What about we did a story about like the witches. There was witches in Vietnam where they had seen them flying over some of the platoons.
Yeah, it definitely was the flying woman that they saw.
So, I mean, dude, there's, well, and again, why is it okay to dismiss and laugh and, you know, scoff off vampires?
Well, that's what's so funny.
Right.
Is you'll go to these conferences and you'll see Bigfoot people making fun of the alien people and the UFO people are making fun of Bigfoot people. And it's like, no, man, we're open to everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is crazy. And speaking of the Aswang, I got an Aswang story for you. It says, I'm not one who believes in the paranormal and still don't. But this one experience I had to this day, I can't quite explain. This happened about a decade ago. My family and I were visiting. I'm not going to even try to pronounce the name of this town.
Oh, you
can't. Staying at my in-laws' house. They own a large lot, and it's deep with massive acacia trees on one end of the property. It's the largest acacia tree I've ever seen in a residential area. The canopy of this tree spans the majority of the property. One night, we had come back from a party. It was probably around 1 a.m., and I decided to have a smoke before showering and going to sleep. I'm sitting on the tailgate of a truck, parked at the opposite end of the property from this tree. All of a sudden, I felt very cold, and my upper back and neck had a tingling sensation. Ahead of me at the far end of the property is the base of this massive acacia tree. Mind you, it was dark out, but you could clearly see. I saw what looked like the silhouette of a person drop down from this tree. This is probably a 30 to 40 foot drop from the canopy. The thing is, it didn't drop, but slowly floated down as if it were being lowered. As soon as this happened, my entire body now had this tingling sensation, and I felt like I was frozen. I could not move. The guard dogs started going crazy, barking. They were facing the tree, but refused to run over to the base of the tree. Once the dogs started barking, I was able to move, and I walked into the house, quickly. As I got close to the door, I could see the two German shepherds run past me and head towards the other side of the house, as if they were running from something, not towards something. The next day over breakfast, I told everyone at the table what had happened to me. My father-in-law, an old-timer, who also does not believe in the paranormal, laughed, and he said that many years ago there was a helper who quit after a similar experience, after only working for the family less than a month. He said it was evening time, and she was found screaming on the front porch of the house. She said she saw a creature drop down from the tree canopy. It ran toward her, and she felt what felt like a hand with very long fingers grab her leg. Another helper heard the screams, turned on the porch lights, and came outside. She said she saw what looked like a black shadow just run away and disappear. Like I said, I still don't believe in this kind of stuff, but my relatives tell me that it was the Aswang.
Oof.
So the Aswang is described as, like Kim said, it's described as what looks like a vampire. Or sometimes Jeepers Creepers, like the flying humanoid things that we talk about all the time.
Dude, they're
It
there.
Looks like that. So these aren't just things that are happening in the Midwest. These things are happening in Southeast Asia. It's the same.
Because they can walk through the veil. They got portals.
Yeah, I don't
know. They portal around where they want to go.
It's crazy.
It is. Speaking of crazy, Jackson, was that who'd sent this over here? Was it Brian? I think this might have been Brian that sent this. It was Brian that sent this over. Brian sent this thing over talking about where we had discussed seeing back in the past, you know, pictures of like, you know, we were like, why don't dog men wear clothes if they're werewolves, right? We'd always said that.
Yeah.
I don't know where this come from. Sent this whole link. It looks like it came, what is it? Like maybe it's a Reddit link or something that's here. But Brian sent this, and this is what it says. I'm going to read this off to you. Cargo pants sighting. Southern Ohio, Shawnee National Forest Area, 2020. A hiker described seeing a tall bipedal wolf creature crossing a rural road at dusk. It reportedly wore dirty, torn cargo pants with side pockets that flapped as it moved, enough to stand out amid otherwise furry beast features.
Well, yeah. But at least it's as crazy as it sounds. It's, it makes it more seem more likely to be real because of the clothes it is wearing.
Kenton County, Kentucky, December 2013. A driver stranded along a wooded back road reported a 7 to 8 foot tall creature wearing large ripped cargo type trousers with visible side flaps. A detail that made the sighting far more surreal. Minnesota, 2019, an ATV driver reportedly observing a dogman on a fire road. The creature was noted as wearing cargo pants with Velcro pocket flaps, distinct in a region where few report any clothing at all. The witness also noted the figure seemed almost mocking in posture. Northern Idaho, winter, 2023. A driver encountered something with huge muddy boots walking upright at the edge of the road. No natural paw tracks were found in the fresh snow, only faint human-looking prints. The witness also noted the figure was too quiet for its size. Arkansas, 2020, the summer near Stuttgart. Though clothing wasn't described, the creature walked along ditches beside the road in headlights, then followed the witness home. The behavior strongly matched other accounts tied to boot-wearing sightings in this area. Fort Polk, Louisiana, 2010, an ex-military witness reports seeing a dog man wearing what looked like a heavy belt with items clipped to it, possibly gear or tools, forward carry, appendix. The presence of a strap or holster-like setup was distinctive and highly atypical outside human behavior. Northwest Arkadelphia, Benton County, October 1972. A family camping near Beaver Lake saw a 7 to 8 foot tall creature. While no pants were noted, its smooth human-like movement under headlights hinted at leaned posture. Later daylight review showed no evidence but marked a recurring local pattern of dogman presence. In the Appalachian foothills between Tennessee and North Carolina, a solo camper reported a creature holding something like a spear with suggestion of a strapped grip or oversized belt sheath. The posture and gear implied planning rather than impulse.
What?
So there are multiples. Do you remember Hyena Man?
Yeah.
Right? You got to think about him like from the Island of Dr. Moreau, with the one with Val Kilmer, right? Brando.
Yeah.
Hyena Man dressed in the cargo pants.
Yeah, what's up with the cargo pants?
Dude, I don't know. Brian thinks he's sending that over, man. I don't know, but it is, again, we like to laugh and poke fun about things, but there is some weirdness to the weirdness.
What is it with the cargo pants?
I have no idea.
I don't own a single pair of cargo pants, but I'm going to be leery.
Dude, I used to. Cargo, first of all, Do you have hunting pants with pockets on the side, like cargo pockets?
Yeah, I guess.
Then you wear cargo pants.
Yes, I never think about it.
That's
like that.
That's the way it is.
So be leery of anybody wearing cargo pants.
Hey, especially on a full moon night. Look over here. Look over here. Okay. These are my old ones, but check it out. Look.
Cargo. Oh, yeah.
These are my old school cargo shorts,
Are you
baby.
Secretly a werewolf?
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
Let me check the schedule. Make sure there's not a full moon.
Make sure there's no. Yeah.
Let's see.
That's way too. No. No. Heck no.
Yeah, what a bizarre.
I'm more like a were bulldog. I'm kind of built like a were corgi. I'm a were corgi.
My favorite one was the one that had a tool belt on with different things on it. Like
that's what made me think of Hyena Man, right? It's like he's got his got his water bottle on his side. He's got his canteen and extra mags.
I bet he doesn't have a P320 with silver bullets in it.
I bet he does. No, no. Now take yourself out with your own silver bullet. No, the one I was going to tell you when I brought up Jackson. Sent this. This is a short one. He sent this in last week. This is very interesting. It says that he lives in the middle of the forest, in the middle of the Ozarks, about 20 miles from the nearest town. This happened last week. He said he goes out at night because the hogs and the armadillos tear up the yard, tear up stuff around there. So he goes out there. Said the other night he grabs his shotgun, strolls out, said, I was walking through a field and I heard something in the brush. So I'm like, let's investigate. Says to let you know, I have a foregrip on my shotgun and a light. So, like, he's out there to bust pigs. He's going to work on the hogs, right? He goes in with the light, gets up next to the brush. He said, looking around, I see something move out of the brush out of the corner of his eye. This is what he says. This thing had pale blue eyes, was 6 foot tall and pale white, with long, lanky arms and legs. When I saw it, I felt a piece of my soul leave. At that moment, I fired two rounds. Touched two shots off at it, turned and took off running to get to the house. Said, got to the house, kept a shotgun with me, made sure the doors and windows was closed, didn't sleep all night.
Yeah. You can so, freak yourself out,
But what was that?
I don't know.
What could you have mistaken it for? You know what I'm saying? If you're that close, you hear the brush, you're in there with that light with your shotgun, and then this thing stands up, 7-footer, stands up, 6 foot tall, pale white, long arms, long legs, blue-eyed out of the brush.
I don't know.
You touch it off. Like, you don't mistake anything from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, first of all, unless it's an extremely thin, hairless bear that's an albino.
Yeah, what are the chances of that? But I guess what are the chances of a rake being out there?
Yeah, the bear's blue-eyed, too. A blue-eyed, hairless, albino black bear stands up. 6-footer and you shotgun it and it don't do nothing to it.
I don't know, but it's crazy because we've talked to people that have and witnessed dog men.
Yeah.
And they said that it's bulletproof.
Yeah.
And then later we heard the stories on Skinwalker Ranch where the guy was shooting wolves and it had no effect on them.
Well, and when
it makes you wonder, is it maybe it's not physical? Maybe it's like.
Yeah. But then how are the dog men wearing clothes?
That's the thing,
right? It's not, those aren't dog men. Those are like hybrids.
Yeah.
Was it Swamp Thing?
Well, and the wearing clothes means
it
was a skinwalker. Like, it was a person that transformed into the dog man. It's not dog man 24/7.
So is
that the way it is all the time? Every time you see a dog man, that's somebody that's transformed into that? Or are they always dog man? You know what I mean?
I think, what if it starts out where you can transform into it, but if you do it too much, you get stuck in it?
Oh,
like, if you let too much of the beast become part of you, right? Isn't that what happens, like, in Wolf?
Yeah, see, that's
that's what Jack Nicholson's dealing with.
Well, did you see the new movie, The Wolfman or whatever?
No, but you had told me about it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a virus thing
that
makes you one.
And right, just
versus it. Like a satanic curse.
And I wonder if that's what this is, right? Is if it really is like little by little, you can fight it off. And maybe if you can, at one point, maybe you can defeat it. But once it goes too far, the curse is on you.
Check this out. It says, this is very hard for me to publicly write about. Because I know you guys will read it. It was so, so strange. And I only have a few people, or I've only told a few people, because they just think you're crazy.
Is it Kyle's hair loss?
When you tell them you saw a stingray fly over the street from one bunch of trees to another, I mean, we
got another one?
Indiana.
Yes!
We're in Indiana, nowhere near the ocean, for one thing. But if we lived by the ocean, why would a stingray fly into the trees? I've heard you guys talk about other sightings of stingrays in the sky.
Yeah.
I think even Cam and his daughter had a possible sighting
something
like that. He said, this is a basic story. It's about 6:30 in the morning. It was still dark out. He was driving to work. And he saw, the only way I could describe it is what looked like a stingray fly from one group of trees across the road into another group of trees. I guess it could have been a kite, but it looked like it was living, breathing.
It's almost stranger organism. If it's a kite.
He's like, thanks for all you do. I just wanted to let you know that I saw something that mirrored this story. Man. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Well, after knowing that so much of like the land we're on used to be like seabed floor and all this, could it, like you've always said, could it be memory?
I don't know.
What was that one? Is it on? It's Love, Death, and Robots. And then that one where they're like out in the desert. Uh-huh. And you get to see like all the old stuff. Like it's showing the underwater seabed with the dinosaur fish in it, you know, all of this stuff. Maybe that's kind of what some of this stuff is that you see.
Man, it's a good explanation as any, right?
Because it's crazy.
I got another crazy sighting here. This comes from New Jersey. I know that a lot of people write into the show.
Here we go.
About Jersey Devil sighting. So this could possibly be that.
Is this some more of your family?
It says, last weekend I was driving on Marshaville Road by the river near Tuckahoe, New Jersey. I don't know the exact time, but it was at dusk, and the sky was light enough to see anything in the sky. I caught a glimpse of a huge flying creature crossing the roadway approximately 100 feet in the air. I swear to God, it was shaped like a dragon.
Oh!
And silhouetted against the lighter sky. It was flying south towards the state forest. I looked at it for almost 10 seconds. The wings were wide, and there was a long tail. The head was like that of an unknown reptile. It was dark in color and flapped its giant wings, which had to be at least 30 feet or more in width. There was another car behind me. They surely saw it by the expression on their faces. I pulled over, and the two people in the other car looked over when they passed me, pointing up at the sky. I tried to get them to stop, but they kept moving. I lowered my window and yelled, but they continued driving. When I stuck my head out of the window, I immediately smelled a foul stench.
Sorry.
And felt warm down drafts. It was very weird. I'm not naive, and I know that this could not have been an actual animal. I almost feel like I entered a time warp, and at the time, this creature appeared. For the rest of the evening, I had a physical reaction comparable to jet lag. I haven't said anything to anyone else. I live alone, and I'm retired. I lived in this area for most of my life, and I've never experienced anything like this. There has been no mention of this in the local news. I may have seen something I shouldn't have. What are your thoughts on this, Malcolm? I think you're right, Malcolm. You know, when people see these giant flying things like that, like a pterosaur, which we know was a real thing, this dragon, you know, because I think Forrest Galante thinks that dragons were a real live living thing just a couple thousand years ago.
Yeah, well, the more that I've kind of read his stuff and looked at, I'm not so sure that he's not right. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Man.
So maybe he's right. Malcolm may have experienced like a time slip where he was experiencing the remnants of what's something that used to actually exist.
Yeah.
You know, because we talk about that.
I think there was a...
How come all the cultures have dragons in them, right? It doesn't matter if you go to China, you go to Japan.
And there's also a lot of stories of people seeing dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, they're talking about exactly like... I mean... If you look at the Chinese calendar, why is everything on there is a real animal and then there's a dragon?
Right.
So you have to be like, bro.
And other cultures. I mean, if you go to like Czech Republic and stuff like that, a lot of their flags and banners will have like dragons on there or griffins. And
but I love the Chinese dragons. Well, because it reminds me of all the kung fu, baby.
Well, explain it to me, because I mean, I'm dumb.
I know. What do you mean to explain to you, dummy?
What's the difference between a dinosaur and a dragon?
I give up. What?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, isn't it the same? I thought she was going to hit me with all this.
Isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, it's just what you call it.
We could. Oh no, dragons weren't real, but pterosaurs were. I'm like, is that not a dragon?
That's exactly what it is.
No one's claiming that they shoot fire or poison or lightning. None of that crazy stuff.
Well, I'm saying that they shoot acid. They can hit you with a cone of cold.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that, but just physically seeing a dragon, and I like to believe that they were real.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I think that they were real. Here's something that I hope's not real. You're going to love this. Took place in 2005 near Sonora, California, nestled among the small mountains and lush forest, cold sparkling streams, is a perfect place for wildlife. There are smaller mountains that are located in this region that are part of the Sierra Nevada range, and Indian legend has always stated that inside these mountains, extraterrestrial civilizations had bases and advanced technology. So in 2005, an acquaintance of mine told me his friend, who was a single mom in her mid-30s, was doing laundry in her cabin when the strangest thing happened. While she was carrying a basket of laundry, she walked around the corner of her house and could see through a window the edge of her garage and the lawn where her kids are usually outside playing. It was at this moment, the small head, exactly like the shape of a cat, with a humanoid body peeked around the corner of the garage. The witness froze, as did the entity. The entity immediately made an expression like, oh, and its eyes widened. That's when the witness noticed that the ears on its head stood straight up, all in proportion with the rest of its body. The cat person was approximately 5'7", had beautiful stripes on its fur, much like tabby cats do. She was white and orange with dark black markings on her face. However, this cat person had clothes that were form-fitting, much like latex-type clothing would be, and dark in color. Let's see here. It showed that the entity had breasts like a woman and arms and legs proportional to any normal woman. The witness felt that she could feel the entity's emotions and felt like this was a young lady of this race who by accident let the witness see her. The witness says that the entity had a surprised look on its face, much like the witness did, and may have also been taken aback by the sudden appearance as it then slinked back along the wall it peeked out from. The witness felt like it was gone and, although curious, did not go outside for several hours later to allow it time to make itself a safe retreat. Now, of course, the creature was gone when she went to see where this entity had stood. The eyes were almond-shaped and an emerald green color. Very beautiful, the witness remembered. She did not feel threatened in any way by the creature, but she felt that she had some connection to it. She felt its surprise reaction. She said she also felt like she knew what the being was, like its age, and that she was seeing it by complete accident, making her conclude that this being was telepathic. There had been other sightings of cat people in this region, but few will come forward to record their sightings. It is said that they have been around for at least the last 200 years in the Native American lore.
Chitara. That's who she saw. Dude. Chitara.
Yeah.
A tabaxi.
A tabaxi.
Right?
Nonetheless, you have a cat person in there.
That's wild, but it's not the first sighting of a cat person I've heard. I've often wondered, are they part of the Fae realm?
I would almost.
You know what I'm saying?
I would want to say yeah. You know what I mean? I'm with you. It's like, I would want to be like, that's 100% got to be what that is.
And much like a lot of the other Fae encounters, it freaks out because it realizes that you see it. They always look like they're surprised. Like, why can they see me?
Yes.
They're not supposed to be able to see me, but they do.
Exactly.
Right?
You're like, that's, yeah. Every Fae encounter is always seems like they're shocked.
Yeah. Like,
and that's got to be, yeah, that's got to be it. Which, here's my thing. Imagine those, if those things are around all the time and we don't know.
I bet you there's a lot of stuff.
Everybody listening right now, think of the things you do when you're all by yourself.
Uh-oh.
When you're all by yourself. Now the Catman's watching. Whatever you thought you did, Catman saw it.
Let's take a break. When we get back from the break, I've got another dragon sighting. I'm going to tell you. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Yeah, I got another dragon story.
Before we go into the dragon story,
yeah,
I want everybody to know that in studio we have a television. And on this television, I have the old, it's just playing whatever we find on streaming. And it was the old television, the old movie, the old Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, The Running Man's playing
fantastic,
in the background.
Yeah, fantastic movie.
It's got to the part where Sub-Zero comes out. If you don't know, that's the first bad guy they got to deal with as he skates around on his skates with his goalie stick and all of his gear. And I'm going to let you know, in between that last break, there was 5 minutes of a rant nobody should have to listen to. All right. He pretty much lost it over why does he wear the things he wears? He's going to get going again, folks. But I'm going to let you know that's the life I deal with is whenever there's somebody doing hockey wrong, I have to hear about it.
I'm just confused. Here he goes. I'm just like, here why are there
we know you're
boards?
Confused. Say, stop. Tell me about your dragon.
All right, anyways. Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
See, he was watching and getting mad again.
So the last sighting of the dragon happened in New Jersey. Well, this one happened in New Jersey as well, but much earlier. This happened in the 80s to a guy that was about 10 years old. He thinks when he saw it.
Was it Don the Dragon?
He said it was before noon and it was in the springtime. I was biking around a local ballpark by my house, Nottingham Baseball Field in Hamilton, New Jersey. There were no games scheduled that day, so I was alone as far as I could tell. There was a play area and a pond by the woods that I would frequent when I was bored, in the hopes of finding other kids to play with. Boy, this is back in the day, right?
Yep.
You
here
had
we
to
go.
Ride around. There's no kids here. What am I going to do?
You got to ride till you find them. Go to the park. You got to go find them.
About halfway there, while looking up at the clouds and sky, I saw what I thought was a plane coming from the south. There's a small airstrip by us, and there were sometimes very cool, old-looking biplanes that would fly by from time to time. My favorite was a Red Baron-style one. And I thought that's what it was because of the color. I stopped and turned to watch and wave. Then the plane gave its wings a little long flap. That's when I realized this wasn't a plane. It was a dragon. There is no doubt in my mind it was dark red, and I could see the sun shimmering off its scales as it got closer. I felt frozen to the spot. dumbstruck, a little scared, but also a little excited. It was huge, flying at about the same height as biplanes do, and it didn't make any sound as it went overhead. It was just gliding. It was like a classical European-looking dragon, but the proportions were a little different. When it was right overhead, I felt a blast of heat. Well, it's because it's a red dragon,
yeah,
dummy.
Exactly.
I assumed it...
Make a con save. What's the matter with you?
I assumed it was its fiery breath at the time.
Oh, that's Dex.
I was absolutely vibrating with excitement and looking around frantically for anyone else that might be around. The ball fields were completely empty, and no one was outside in the nearby houses. I kept going at a steady clip, and right before it disappeared over the tree line to the north, it gave another slow flap of its massive wings. I turned right around and sped out of there, out of that park, hoping to find someone else who could have seen it. Everyone was inside their homes that early. When I got home, I realized no one would believe me, so I never told my parents. They'd think I was just making it up. Instead, I told my older sister, but she said I was probably saw what was a hang glider or a fancy plane. It was such an odd sighting, I never forgot it. David. So, just like we were talking before the break, it looked like a dragon, like you see in all the movies.
It's not a hang glider.
Of course he didn't forget it. How could you forget seeing something like that, right?
And he didn't mistaken it as a hang glider. It was a dragon.
I know, but it's so bizarre, right? When people have these, when they have these experiences and they don't really know how to classify it or what it, you know, what it was. Well, why did I see that?
Yeah.
Was it my mind because I saw a dragon in a book or I saw it in a movie and then my mind made me think that that hang glider was a dragon? Or did they see an image that happened long ago and for whatever reason it's replaying on loop? Did he slip into a time slip? I mean, what was it? He clearly watched it flap its wings more than once, slowly saw it do it twice, gliding over. And what's up with the heat?
It's so crazy. Not just the whole idea of it. But it's really, like you said, if you call it a pterosaur or call it a dragon or call whatever, right? But like, that's the thing. These people report seeing what we know now is like the way dragons were drawn, like the fantasy style dragons, like what we, like we always talked about with the pterosaur.
And who came up with that? Because you get guys
but
that
you
are
go back into
like
the
Jeff Easley or something,
man.
And he's basing his drawings off of like Chinese dragons.
Yep.
But somebody was the first person to draw a dragon.
Man, I think dragons were real.
I do too.
I think dragons were real.
At one time?
Yeah, at one point in time.
I think they were around far longer than people think. This is what I like to imagine. Like when you go to one, when you watch Game of Thrones or you think of Gladiator, when there's these caravans going from town to town selling exotic things. I always picture like a cage somewhere in the Orient that somebody had a baby dragon in.
Oh, like gremlins when they were like in Chinatown.
Yeah. Cause remember like when, what's her name from
the eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to picture that that was really going on, say maybe 10,000 years ago.
Well, I wish I knew enough about, of course, you know, just the whole idea of dinosaur bones and this. There has to be some that are mistakes. And what I mean by that is, like, do we really know all the, like, you can go and see the pictures. All they look like giant lizards.
Yeah, but we know that
the Smithsonian
suppresses some bones because they suppressed all those giant bones.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, we don't really know if all the dinosaur stuff were even being told, I guess. Like, we know they were there, but we don't really know if that's exactly what they look like, exactly what they sounded
what was
like,
that?
All of this stuff. Like, we get a good idea that that's what they were built like, but we don't necessarily know 100%, like even if we're 90%. So there may be a few things in there that was falling through the cracks to where, maybe a dragon 100%. Fell through the crack.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you talk to those guys, they'll tell you that they don't, like when they draw what a T-Rex looked like or they drew what a Brontosaurus looked like, they don't really know. They don't know what color it was. They're taking their best guess.
They're just going off of,
And there was a war. What was it called? The Big Bone War or whatever, where there was people going all over trying to find dinosaur bones.
Yep.
And we know that the Smithsonian suppresses certain things. So if they knew about it, they wanted to keep it quiet. Now, I don't know why they would. Why did they keep the giants quiet?
Yeah.
But they know that, I mean, they did. What was the guy that was on Rogan who donated a bunch of bones to like the Smithsonian? And then they,
is that the bone farm guy from up there in like Alaska or whatever?
They threw him in the Hudson River.
Yeah. He had to go get them.
And they said it wasn't true. And then a couple weeks later, people started looking and they found him.
Yeah.
We've always heard of those stories about that. So they with the giant skeletons.
So
they took them out in the ocean and dropped them.
Dumped them.
Yeah.
Everything that had to do with giants was destroyed. I like to believe that there's still some somewhere tucked away, that somebody kept.
In private collections, I'm sure they are. That's why I'm selling the idea of the dragons. Because look at our celebrities now. When you're a baller, when you're a boxer, what do you buy? You buy pet tigers. You buy exotic animals. I think of somebody 15,000 years ago, the way to flex is you have a baby dragon.
You have a dragon in there in your kingdom. That's what I like to believe anyway.
Right.
100%.
That would be cool. Well, if you have any cool stories you want to share with Cam and I and the rest of the real listeners.
Especially
about dragons or lizard people or cat people.
Pretty much anything, y'all. Y'all know that. Come on.
You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline 888-393-2783. And if you're listening to this before the expo, it's not too late. You can get your tickets and come to the Ducks Unlimited Expo in Memphis, Tennessee.
Come see us. Let's hang out. There's got to be some good food around there.
There's got to be some awesome food trucks there, right? I cannot wait. Let's not forget about our sponsors, IQ Bar. Right now, IQ Bar is offering for special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. That's when to get your 20% off, text EXPANDED. That's EXPANDED to 64,000. That's EXPANDED to 64,000. Cam, I know you're going to be with me, so there's no reason for me to ask you what you're doing this weekend. You'll be hanging out with me.
That's right. We're going to be kicking it in Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis.
We'll be talking to you folks next week. That's it for today's show. Stay safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.